The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to talk briefly about the Madeleine, the ship on its way to Gaza with those supplies, medical supplies, some food supplies and other things, prosthetics. Baby's arms, prosthetics for baby's arms. We were told last week by Liam Cunningham on the show. It won't have escaped your attention at this stage that the Madeleine was seized overnight by Israeli forces. Francesca Albanese, who is the UN Special Rapporteur for the Occupied Palestinian Territories, was in constant contact with the ship and she's with me now. Francesca, you're very welcome to the show. What did you make of what we witnessed overnight?
Thanks for having me back. And hi, Ireland. It was very shocking because I was just in touch because I understood that the boat had got off track. It was not visible anymore. And so I wanted to make sure that everything was okay. During the span of 2 hours, they were surrounded by speedboats and then overflown by quadcopters, which were carrying weapons, and sprayed the car with the vessel with an unknown substance. And then last thing that happened when I lost contact with the crew, with the captain, is that they were intercepted and boarded by the Israeli soldiers. I heard the voice of soldiers as the captain was speaking, and then I lost communication. It's quite abrupt and traumatic. I kept following what was happening, but I didn't have news until this morning. Reliable sources in Israel tell me that the crew is being held on the boat, surely until 1 hour ago. They are due to be landed in Ashdod, and they are scheduled for deportation, probably at different times, some immediately, others will have to go through a tribunal. I have no idea of the different procedure, other than this is wrong and it's unlawful.
So you said you were shocked. Were you surprised this happened?
Look, nothing that is happening is unsurprising, and still, it's shocking. It's shocking because I remember vividly when in 2010 the Mavi Marmara was assaulted in the middle of the night. 10 people were killed, 10 activists. And just a few weeks ago, I vividly remembered, and I was following the flotilla back then, it was attacked by a drone in international waters, and I gave the alarm immediately, and silence was the response. So of course there was tension, and this is why I felt compelled to be present together with other special rapporteurs. We have issued a call to ensure protection, to call for protection, but of course it was also very very emotional to be there and hear the fear, despite the calm of the crew, and to hear the soldiers boarding after the quadcopters, which we know they are drones equipped to shoot and to kill, had been over the boat. So I didn't have a good slumber last night, let's put it this way.
No, we spoke last week to people involved with the Madeleine and with the Flotilla Coalition, and actually people who were involved in 2010 as well with the Mavi Marmara. And what they said is that there was two goals, really. One was the landing of humanitarian aid, which was always going to be a difficult one to do. You know, they on some level accepted the Israelis were going to intervene. The other goal was really just to highlight the inaction of the international community and its lack of response, its lack of urgency. Did they achieve that goal?
It's not that the international community is doing nothing. The international community is actively supporting the destruction of Gaza, either by political cover of what Israel is doing, by not respecting international law, I want to recall two basic legal developments. In January 2024, the International Court of Justice recognized the plausibility of genocide, instructing Israel to cease the violence against Gaza and to let unfettered humanitarian aid, which also poses responsibilities on member states. This was the moment the clock started to tick in terms of third state responsibilities. No one has really been proactive in challenging the siege, which has become more and more acute. And we see that between 70 and 100 people are killed every day. There have been days in which Israel has killed 200, 300, up to 600 people in the last 2 months, you see. And also there are member states who are clearly profiteering directly or through their economic and financial enterprises. It's shocking. I've never seen such a thing in my entire life, but probably this is the world we live in.
Is Ireland one of those states?
Well, you will have to see my report coming soon. Surely Ireland has not done enough. You know that I've been critical of the government because Ireland is a state where there is a wall-to-wall consensus in the street, in the academia, in civil society and other circles among artists that the Palestinians should be allowed to enjoy human rights and freedom like anyone else in the world. And the government, let's put it this way, the government is more timid in following up. It's more restrained in following up on its obligations.
I've spoken obviously to government ministers, and what they always say is, we want to act through the mechanism of the European Union. And on one level, I accept that. You know, we're a European Union member state, and there's a value in that. On the other hand, you could say that's really just another way of, it's a kind of a recipe for inaction by trying to do everything through the mechanism of the European Union, given the diversity of opinion and policy position with regard to Israel and Gaza and Palestine.
Absolutely. It's so performative, isn't it? I mean, it's sad that European Union, after so many years, had to become the shield for everyone's lack of responsibility, a lack of a straight spine. Because here, I'm sorry, there is no excuse in the face of violation of peremptory norms of international law and the commission of atrocities. No excuse. And so I would like to see the people you are interacting with in 5-10 years, when it will be clear to everyone what Israel has done to the Palestinians and to Gaza, explaining, as Liam Cunningham said this morning, to their children and grandchildren, the arguments they were offering when they were in power in order not to stop this genocide.
There was a moment, and I don't know what you think of this, there was a moment a few weeks ago where there was a real sense of building international pressure on Israel, to such an extent that Benjamin Netanyahu at one stage was accusing the United Kingdom and France and Canada of being anti-Semitic. And then we had, I don't know, a sense, slight dampening of that, I felt certainly. And then we had this news, this big diplomatic conference that was going to happen, that France and the UK were beginning to roll back a little bit from the possibility of recognizing Palestine as a state. What's your sense of that?
I've said it. Guys, it's great that you recognize the state of Palestine. It's just 33 years later than you. Because, excuse me, why would you melt with another people's business, telling them how they have to reform their ministries, if you don't even recognize them as a state? This is really an affront to people's intelligence, Kieran. But also, I've always been skeptical of these moves. You know what I think has moved the a little bit the needles and have prompted this sense of, oh, we need to say something. First of all, it's the square, it's the streets, because politicians, even if they pretend not to, they hear people in the street, they hear the sense of disgust of individuals and workers and students and others who cannot stomach the fact that Gaza has become, and sorry to be so gruesome, but that it has become a meat grinder. This is it. I mean, and it's mainly kids who get lay down on filthy floors of non-existing hospitals day after day. And this has been the reality for months now. One is this. And the second is that we have seen people starving to death, especially children. And the image of the starving body, this is what kicks something into our white consciousness. This might be genocide. And this is what, but again, has it changed anything? I said, guys, this is just performance. They will change their mind. All these leaders who are speaking, UK, France, they will change idea and they will forget what I've said in no time. And that was proven right again.
What would it take, do you think, to change their mind in a more permanent way?
The people, I really believe. Look, you know, I mean, let me use a metaphor. It's such a transformational moment and it's very ugly and it's very, very, very painful. See it. I mean, this is why I say we need to abandon this testosteronic way of interpreting power and embrace it in a more feminine and protective way. We need to learn to stick to each other, uniting and not fighting. And there is only one way to get out of this safe and sound. It's by stopping the violence and the powers who are profiting from it, meaning the racial militarized capitalism that today is not only determining life and death of the Palestinians, but it's also determining, undermining the security of the Israelis. Kieran, look, the economy in Israel has been going down while the stock exchange was going up. Why? Because while many people, including in Israel, have been suffering, others have been profiteering from the genocide. And these reflect in your economy like in mine. And it's only one and one factor who can change this, and it's the people. Trade unions, students, ordinary citizens, we need to say basta, enough, and take politics to account.
Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur to the Occupied Palestinian Territories. Francesca, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.